Kathleen Pearl, Trump Talk about government and rulers. Welcome. I'm going to get very practical here about the governments, those that God has ordained to government, and the rule of law that they under. This is the second part of Think, and I will deal with the Mr. Trump and what he represents and the issues around him that are surfacing within the Christian body and within this nation that he is rightfully addressing. Thank you for joining me. All right, let's open up with the first issue is that Mr. Trump met with 1,000 evangelical leaders in New York and had a Q&A, question and answer time, without any media coverage at all. Let's talk about that event, first of all. Out of that has come a lot, some coverage that Mr. Trump is a new Christian. Well, that may be. But even if he is a new born-again Christian, that doesn't mean anything, especially in light of who these 1,000 evangelical leaders are, who had as their leader in 2000 a man who was exposed for being a homosexual and a methamphetamine user. So this level of corruption at the head of this group denotes that the group is seriously compromised, if in no other way than their ability to discern people and the condition of the human heart. All right, and having said that, a lot of these leaders are joining in the bowing to the papist movement, as I call it, under the houses of prayer and so on. Now, in this media, it doesn't matter to me it matters on a personal level because I know how to pray for the man and have been praying for him and have been seeing a lot of issues and event stuff come out. I don't watch a lot of mainstream media because I don't have time to do the mental exercise to weed through the distortions and the spin doctrines that are presented there as fact. We all know that the media has lost its role, the mainstream media, in being the hold the feet to the fire of the politicians and reveal truth and all of that. It's now become a propaganda machine for the leftists. Okay, let's just put that on the table. What we're looking at is not a spiritual leader of the nation, which we desperately need. And if Mr. Trump has become a Christian, he desperately needs advisors that are really walking with God. And let me present to you that in all probability, this group of people, and there are likely exceptions, are generally compromised because of the sort of method operandus it takes to get in those kind of high-profile positions in our culture and in our nation today. All right, that's just a generic. All right, I do pray that Mr. Trump has become a Christian because evidently he has godly values, or at least righteous values. And he's running for presidency. He's not running for spiritual leader. So when I look at a man, you want to look at the evidence of their life and how they've operated. And we're looking for a man for a position of government and rulership. Govern means he knows how to govern. He knows how to get things done. He knows how to he's a manager. He knows how to work with people and move things forward. And there's a certain standard, a framework, if you will, that holds that government together. And in a very basic governmental, down to the bottom line course here, is a ruler is one who rules, by law. You either rule by the rule of law, by God's laws and his rules, or you make up your own rules and laws, as Alexander the Great did, And then he delusionally thought he became a god king, that he was descended from the gods and that he was the rule, the law. Whereas in this particular governmental system that came out of England, the king was subject to the rules in the Judeo-Christian ethic of the scriptures. Well, let's just want to lay that as groundwork here. Now, the alternative media have been all over the charts, and I won't say who they are, about Trump. And of course, first of all, there's a lot of quote prophecies that there's going to be Marshall on, Obama's going to be in, Hillary Clinton's going to be in, and oh, Trump's the trumpet. And so I pray, I ask God, what did he say? He said he wasn't saying anything to these people, that this country is in a process now. And the process is dependent upon the real church, not the leaders, because they're very apostate in general. The overwhelming majority, according to the scriptural standards of the body of Christ and government. And therefore, their salt and their light is not operating. But there are those that have left and that are seeking the Lord. And God has not spoken about who's going to be president. It's a process, as in Isaiah 51. His word is going to go out. It's going to plant in a field. It's going to be patient. It's going to spring up. And then there's going to be fruit. Then it's going to be taken out. It's going to be thrashed and beaten and crushed and made into flour and then made into bread. This is a process. And the process to make a good loaf of bread, something that's edible and usable, decent, is contingent upon each step of the process coming to fruition. And that is the key to the prayers of the godly people who are following Jesus in this nation. These are the ones that hold the gates, the gatekeepers, the spiritual leaders in the pulpits have not kept the gates. Now, to be salt and light, we are called to be involved in the political process. And yes, I write my congressmen, and yes, I write my local state congressmen, representatives, and I vote and I participate in these processes. And God does speak to me about certain things and certain leadings. And so here is a man who has articulated all the positions that I wrote in a letter to my congressman, my representative in Washington, D.C. And I said, this needs to happen and that needs to happen and this needs to happen. And so far, Mr. Trump has acknowledged that almost every issue that I wrote over 2 years. And it was a public letter, an e-letter, and I received a response. I correspond with my congressman. I do my part. And I also put in the solutions. Having identified the issues, I put in solutions to the problem. And I must, it's been shocking to me that Mr. Trump has almost addressed all of these, because these are wisdom issues. You see, a house is built by wisdom and righteousness. Okay, and the wicked, those who do not have the rule of law, but think they are God and they make up their own rules, they are not wise. They do not. Now, wisdom in Proverbs says that in Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness and rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. And anyway, then down to 18, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. Who is that? The immoral woman. The seductress, verse 16, who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Her house leads down to death. That government leads to death, who forgets the covenants of God and the ways of uprightness. And no one who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life, so they may walk in the way of goodness and keeps to the path of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be rooted from it. And wisdom is known by her children, the fruits that she produces, and those that she governs. So when you are governed by someone who does not uphold the eternal laws, they are lawless. Do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. That's Aleister Crowley, warlock of warlocks, who died a drug addict in the streets. That's where his path ended up. And it is inevitable that whatsoever a person sows, they will reap. All right, let me just review. I don't care what the media says, because I've been trained in media and I know how you can present something by camera angles and you can edit and do all different sorts of things to make someone say what they're not saying. This is a standard operating procedure on those who twist the truth, and media is very easy to manipulate. I also have just laid out that there's a rule that a person is known by their government. We're not looking for the pastor of this nation, although we're looking for the nation pastors and leaders to get right with God. And that's where it begins. They are the gatekeepers, and they have allowed the gates to come down because of their own governmental compromises, which I addressed in the first introduction. All right, and so now let's look at the man running for a government here, office. Okay, the man's been an unbeliever, but he's had some advisors that are highly compromised, according to some other, and we thank goodness for these people who bring this evidence to the surface, because this is important. We are called to be, to hold those that are around us to the fire, their feet to the fire of God's truth, in order to bring righteousness. But when I was looking and listening to this information about Mr. Stone, one of Trump's political managers and advisor, the scripture kept coming to me is, to the shrewd I show myself shrewd, and to the perverse I show myself perverse. And this is a scripture I had to operate out of when I was going through the over 30 years of court in the California District 9 system regarding custody and laws and all of that, and who had covenant. That's another story, but suffice it to say, I learned how to pray through and stand on the covenant of God to defeat the twisting of the spirit of the law, of righteousness, of rightness. And what we see is that sometimes you cannot be, you have to guard your heart, and you have to deal with a shrewd according to their own thinking and their own beastly tactics. So here we have a totally corrupt system, and someone's going to come in and is exposing and speaking aloud and not playing in with the ruling establishment. So they're going to stack all this. So they're not going to give him money. So if he didn't have a great amount of wealth before he raised up his grassroots support, he would have to have that wealth in order to get exposure through the media and traveling and all the other venues. So it took a wealthy man. It took a man who knew how to deal with the shrewdness of the business world, who knew how to turn things around, who knew how to rule his own little empire, however that may look, and who brought some testimonies out from his background in military school, and those who knew him around him personally that could talk freely. And then you judge whether the man's, who are his enemies. A man's enemies will define you. And Trump's enemies are the very people that are just absolutely corrupt beyond belief and have virtually no conscience at all. They are seared in their understanding of the basic elements of not even knowing what genitals they have on their bodies. Now, considering the fact that Mr. Trump has some compromised individuals around him that he has dismissed recently, Mr. Trump has dealt with he's a shrewd businessman. He's dealt with a perverse and corrupt system, the political system. And so it took a perverse, he used those things. I believe that's wisdom. He used a perverse man to show him how the system is played. He played the system, and then now that he's in, he's holding up a standard of right ruling. Even if he's a Christian, he needs to get the appropriate advisors and a team that works around him. This is a huge endeavor, but his enemies, a man is defined by his enemies. These people so he fraternized with them in a social, cocktail party or something like that for business deals. That does not mean that he is partaking in their sin. Let's check out what Ezekiel says here. This is Ezekiel 3. It's regarding God's calling to Ezekiel. I will start and give you the context of it in 16. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall surely die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. And let's look at an additional scripture in Ezekiel 18. And just to give you the context about Ezekiel 18 is about the souls, and the soul of the Father and the soul of the Son is God's. And in verse 4 says, the soul who sins shall die. And it gives a whole list of all the kinds of sins that cause death to the soul in Ezekiel 18. I suggest you take time and read it just to tune up with God's view. And then 19 says, and this has to do with people who say birds of a feather, they flock together, whatever. You say, Ezekiel 19, yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon themselves. All right, we all own responsibility for our actions and our behaviors. And we will reap the fruit of our own actions and behaviors. Verse 21. Okay, if a wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked shall die, says the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. And yet you say, oh, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. And again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. It is not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair. Is it not my ways which are fair? Is it not my ways? God's ways are fair. And it's the house of Israel, those who call the church, their ways are not fair. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from your transgressions so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. You hear that? God says right there, it's our iniquity that becomes our ruin. Cast away you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why should you die, O nation of United States? O house of Israel, the church that's become apostate, the leaders that are full of compromise. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. And what is to live? As I live. Verse 3, says the Lord God. You shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all. Okay, so then he goes on. Behold, I'm going back to the beginning. Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with his clothing, if he has not exacted usury nor taken increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity and executed true judgment between man and woman, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord. But if he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but he has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, nor restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to the idols, or committed abominations, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? O bankers, O politicians, O unrighteous just judges, O those who killed Scalia, and have murder and blood and done all these things on your hands and twisted and perverted justice and righteousness, he shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considers but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. And as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. God is absolutely fair. And this season of the harvest and the fullness of iniquity in this nation, and we're in the fields now, and the wheat harvest is coming through. The harvest time is coming, and there will be a separating between the wheat and the tares, and the wheat will go in. And it will be beaten and threshed through tribulation. A hull shall be cracked. It shall be threshed on the threshing floor, and the chaff shall be blown away with the wind. The tares will be burned, and then the wheat will go through the crushing, and the preparation to be bread for the eater, for the master of the house. And at this point, I support Trump, Mr. Trump, and his policies. I pray for him, for his divine protection, because we have a murderous administration operating right now. I don't know if you've ever seen Macbeth, but God speaks to me through scripts, and we are definitely in Macbeth's house at this time, that Scottish play, you know. And it remains to be seen what will happen. I will continue to pray, and as I do ardently, that righteousness will come back, because righteousness exalts its nation, but sin, and when the wicked rule over it, it's a reproach, and it's become a disgusting. And most of this country does not agree with the political environment, and the nations are horrified at what we have become, how far we have fallen. Can Mr. Trump turn this around? Well, it certainly would be the challenge, a great challenge. And I do pray that those that are not called of God to be around him will be weeded out, and that he will have the right people as advisors and counsel and divine protection. And when and if he takes the office of presidency, that he will keep his word and fulfill the policies that he stated, that he will not fall or cave under the pressure of the beasts and the one world systems and the globalists and the big bankers, et cetera, those who think they have power, because we're coming into the year of Jubilee. And that means the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all that is in it. And God sets up rulers and takes them down, even the least noble of men, which we have now. So I'll just continue to do personal repentance, where just because of the status of our nation, our feet get dirty and we're grieved every day, as we see vexed, as it said, Lot was vexed every day when he saw the corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah, and pray for a turnaround of righteousness. And most importantly of all, no man is going to save us. Trump does not save. Jesus saves. He's our Savior. And we need to keep our eyes focused on his eyes, and that he has those unfathomable pools of eternal love. And that way we keep the mind of Christ, and we are filled with his glory and his righteousness. Thank you for listening.